Jesus, put your hands in Luke 11, go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, because some folks believe that when you say so many things, I mean, one of the things will be, it'll just like you're trying to hit a target. If you're playing for a certain, if you are a fan of certain clubs, they have more shots on target than goals. I don't know which club I'm talking about, but I think there are clubs like that. They have 24 shots on target. Then, 1-0. That means, just keep shooting. I remember one of Nigeria's teams, the team that went to Japan. The coach said that he taught them to just shoot at goal. That if you shoot 50 times, at least 5 will enter. And you know, they were beating people 8-0. Because they used to shoot. But 50 times, you now get 5 goals. That's no success. Hallelujah. So people believe that, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Just one day, things will happen. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Now, look at Matthew 6. Jesus says in verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. As the heathen do. Who are the heathen? The unbelievers. Who have no relationship with God. Use no vain repetitions. As the heathen do. For they think. What do they think? They shall be heard. For they are what? Much speaking. That's not the point. It's not saying so many things. In the middle of it, God will hear some, leave some. No. Look at verse 8. I mean verse 8, yep. Can we take verse 8 together? One, two, go. Be ye not, once more. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Praise the name of the Lord. So God knows what you need. That means, like I taught in our series on prayer and things, that means prayer is not notifying God of your needs. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is to receive, not to notify God. God knows. He knows your needs before you ask. So, if He says, God knows my needs before I ask, and prayer is to ask, that means prayer is not to tell God my need. Let me see your hand if you understand that clearly. It's not to tell God my need. Prayer is to receive. James 1:5. He says, if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. He gives to all men liberally and does not look for fault. Said, but let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Said, because he that wavers is like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. Said, let no such a man think that he shall receive. He didn't say God will give. He said he shall receive anything of the Lord. So don't just rush to pray. And just pray for people. And just say, let's just pray. I know God. God knows. Let's just notify God. Don't do that. Luke chapter 11. Sunday now. And it came to pass, verse 1, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Luke 11:1, please read. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That means they saw his pattern of prayer. They saw his modus operandi. They saw how he prayed. There was something about his prayer life that inspired them. And they said, Lord, can you teach us to pray? That is, explain to us how to pray. So I said last week, prayer must be taught. You have to teach prayer. You have to explain to people how to pray. Okay? Now, by the time you bring in teaching to prayer, that means there are going to be 3 things that you must bring out to people in the place of prayer. Because teaching involves to impart knowledge. Are you there? Are you there? That means there's an impartation of knowledge. Now, when you say knowledge in the in scriptural terms, when you refer to knowledge, you refer to a word often used by the Greeks called epignosis, complete, precise knowledge. That involves three things. It involves knowledge, that is facts. Two, it involves understanding the facts. Three, it involves how to use the facts. That's wisdom. So in every teaching, there is a fact of the subject matter. Then there is the understanding of the facts of the subject matter. And then there is the wisdom, how to use those facts at the right time, in the right place, and for the right purposes. So when we are teaching people prayer, we must bring out these things. Explain why. I put like this. Knowledge is what it is. Understanding is why is it so. Then wisdom is how to deal with it. How to go about it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But the minute you say how to pray for God's people, you've already incorporated facts. Okay? You've already brought in the understanding of the facts. So last week, we asked some questions. If you have an unsaved neighbor, how do you pray for somebody who is not born again? We said you don't pray for somebody to be saved because it is not possible to save anyone by prayer. I don't know if you got that last week. You got that clearly. You don't pray, the guy needs salvation. You're not praying for him to be saved. We saw that that's not possible. That's praying with the right facts, with the wrong understanding, then there will not be wisdom to what you're doing. Truly, you want the person saved. God wants him saved. It's clear in the Bible. It's the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. It is clear in the Bible. 1 Peter 3:9, that God doesn't want anybody to perish, but to come to repentance. You know, it's clear in the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is very clear. You know, all those things are clear. However, that means you're right. That means the desire for you, the desire for someone to be saved that you have is right. However, you don't have the understanding of why he is not saved. So we looked at that understanding last week and we saw that the basic reason why he is not saved is because no one has what? Preached the gospel to him. And we saw why. And we said that should be your prayer point. Because you can't pray a man saved. If we can pray people saved, it's so easy. We'll just sit down here and then we'll take 6 months of prayer every day, 5 hours. We'll get the list of people in Lagos and then we'll just pray them saved. But that is not possible. Even Jesus' prayer couldn't get you saved. You need to hear the gospel, believe, receive, then be born again. The same way to pray for an unsaved person, there are things to pray about. And we saw that. What about praying for a weak Christian? Somebody who is born again, but, you know, his lifestyle doesn't measure up. It doesn't measure up. Remember, years back, a fellow told me that he wanted to pray for a Christian like that. He said, I'm going to pray. God will bring him down from that. It's a high pedestal. I said, ah. So that he will serve God. I said, ah. God doesn't even do that. Right? God doesn't steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. It's the thief that comes to do that. See, God came to give life and life abundantly. Praise God. I said, praise God. Right? If you find anybody stealing, killing, and destroying, be rest assured it's not God. If you find anybody who has to kill someone to make bring out his glory, 1 Corinthians 15:24-25 lets us know that death is an enemy of God. Praise God. Hebrews 2:14-15 says that death was destroyed by Jesus. It held man captive. Captive because it was a tool of the devil. Alright? So we mustn't see death as what God uses to justify anything. See? Romans 5:12 says that sin entered into the world by one man and then death reigned upon all. Sin reigned upon all by death. So therefore, death is a product of sin. Sin doesn't come from God. James 1:13, let no man say, when I'm tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither can he tempt anyone. So God doesn't tempt with evil. If God doesn't tempt with evil, he doesn't tempt with sin. That means God doesn't produce sin. If God doesn't produce sin, that means whatever sin produces doesn't come from God. Praise God. Let me see, and if you get that clearly. So you get your thoughts clear. God doesn't kill. God hasn't killed one person so far. But I read in the Bible that God killed him. Well, you must have read that in the Old Testament, and that's because of their insight in the Old Testament was not precise, because they were men that were not in the spirit, they were men in the flesh. And so there was limited understanding of God that they could have. But he that has seen Jesus, praise God, has seen the Father. That means if you look through the scriptures, that revelation of Jesus from Genesis down to Malachi is the Father in the scriptures. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, when you say carnal Christian who is not grown, how do you pray for him? The same way you will pray for yourself. I've seen people ask for mercy for a believer. You cannot ask for mercy for a believer. God doesn't need you, alright, to sort out another believer. He doesn't need you. You see, intercession is for somebody who does not have right standing with God. That's the person you intercede for. You intercede for somebody who does not have right standing with God. But today, we have right standing with God. Say, I have right standing with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have right standing with God. You don't intercede for a believer. You intercede not for a Christian. Intercession is to stop the hands of judgment over another person. You can't do that for a Christian, because he has right standing with God. Let's see a couple of scriptures with that. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans 8:34. Turn there, please. I'll start from 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Alright? Okay? 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Observe that. That is what? Risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, with the context of this, a lot of people believe that Jesus is at the right hand of God, that we have a series on that on television. We just finished that series on the present day ministry of Jesus. And they believe that Jesus sits somewhere, and then when you're wrong, God wants to get angry. Jesus says, come on, daddy, don't do that. I mean, look at me. He won't do it again. And all that. But they're wrong. Notice what he says. He says, Jesus rose again to make intercession for us. He rose again. How does he do it? Hebrews chapter 7. Intercession, therefore, is not your work. Intercession is the work of Christ. It's not your work. To ask for mercy for people is not your work. To stop judgment for people is not your work. That's the work of the Christ. Hebrews 7:25. Let me start from 24. But this man, talking about Jesus, because he continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Hebrews 7:24. Please read. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, them that come to God by him, seeing that he what? Ever what? Ever what? Lives to make intercession for us. That life of God, the eternal life, an unchangeable priesthood of Jesus in the heavens is that intercession. The fact that he's alive is the intercessory work for everyone. And it's not for God, it's against the enemy. Hallelujah. He aids us against the enemy, as we sing in that song. 1 John 2 and 2. My little children, these things write out unto you that you see not. Alright? Don't do wrong. That's what it says. But He says, and if any man sin, he didn't say when any man sin. So sin is not to be the norm. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Did you see that? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says we have an advocate. That word advocate is the word patron or guarantee with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Lord, have mercy on him. Have mercy. And you're talking to a Christian. You are both ignorant. Both the Christian and you. Oh, what are you now? Senior Christian. Because you're thinking you can ask for something for somebody that he cannot ask. Why? Who are you? You both have the same right standing with God. Praise God. You know what John said? You know, John wrote in chapter 2, 1 John 2, said, I speak unto you, my little children. He said, I speak unto you, young men. I speak unto you, you know, the elders. But when he got to verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love this is the Father has bestowed upon you, said upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Hallelujah. Because to God, we are not little children. We are all sons of God in Christ. In verses, beloved, now are we. He didn't say, now are you. He said, now are we the sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. I'm a son of God with 100% rights, privileges before God, just like every other son of God. You see that? The Bible says you are an heir of God. Romans 8:17, a joint heir with Christ. See, I'm an heir with God. I'm an heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. All right. So it's very clear. So you say, well, you know, because of your level, there's a way God speaks to me. There's a way God, who are you? His uncle? You're just his son. Just like I am. I've got no greater right and privilege before God than you do. Amen. Are you there? All right. So I don't have any right to stand before God on your behalf to say that God, I know he has messed up, but God, for my sake, his last name is Sodom and Gomorrah. For my sake, Lord, you know I'm handsome, I guess so. I'm spiritual. I fast every time. You know I'm loyal to you. He's not, but for my sake, you know, he's just a weak Christian who doesn't know the word. Help him. You have just made vain repetition. Because that prayer doesn't have an audience with God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is that mediator? The man, Christ Jesus. Alright. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Say, I'm what the word says I am. Do you believe that at all? Say it again, I'm what the word says I am. Say, I'm what the word says I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am born of the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am a partaker of the divine nature. As he is, so am I. In this world. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 9. Come on. It says, but you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. And a holy nation. Did you see that? A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of him who has called you. Hallelujah. Out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. Amen. So I'm in the light of God now. Praise God. Look at 10. Which in time past were not a people. Hallelujah. But now you are the people of God. Which have not obtained mercy. But now, what have you obtained? Mercy. So you have obtained mercy. That word obtained in the Greek means something in your possession. Say, I have the mercy of God. So if I have a weak Christian, okay, how do I pray for him? Two things are happening to him. Number one, he is ignorant. of his place in Christ and of the Word of God. Number two, this is where I believe we should focus our prayer. He is open to the condemnation of the devil. Satan will have him for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if there's a possibility, midnight meal. So, I need to pray for him so that he will know these things I just read. He has to know it. Or else, Satan. I was talking to someone there and he says, he believes that he has this sickness because he committed one sin at one time and all that. A lady who had been a Christian before that period, 10 years. And I laughed. I said, who is deceiving you? I said, is that what Satan told you? So that they can put sickness on your body? I told you, I think it was Sunday last week, I said it in the second service, that all the people Jesus healed were sinners. All of them. Isn't that interesting? Not just sinners who used to sin. Mm-mm. Sinners who did not believe the gospel. And they were healed. Why would you allow Satan to bring that? Not most of them. I mean, most of them didn't believe the gospel, I wanted to say. But a couple of them never believed the gospel. A good number of them. And Jesus healed all of them. I said, how do you not believe that Satan has a room in your life because of that? I said, no. Get a hold of God's word. And tell the devil, listen carefully, if there is sin, it's family business. Praise God. It's not your business. He said, if any man sin, he had an advocate with the Father. Praise God. He didn't say, if any man sin, don't worry, run away from Satan. He didn't say that. He has. Say, I have an advocate with God. Oh, you don't believe that. Say, I have an advocate with God. So when you're going to pray for a fellow Christian, pray for revelation, knowledge of God's word. That's the right prayer. Revelation, knowledge of God's word. So that brother in Christ will know his rights in Christ. Will know what he has. Will know who he is. And he will grow in it. That is how to pray for a child of God. Let me show you how you are following this clearly. Did you get this? Simple. Does a father touch his heart? That way is going. You know all those verbalized prayer. You know the way we pray in Africa is very unique, I tell you. We have this thing in Africa that sounds like jazz. You just say, I command him from today. He'll begin to listen. You know people talk like that in prayer? From today in the name of Jesus. Yes. I command that all the problems he will need in his life for him to be a serious Christian will enter his life now. You know, we watch a lot of African movies. We say, Shubu! People believe that's how to pray. It's not like that. You look at the word of God. Amen. To pray. Alright. So last week we said, how do you pray for ministers of the gospel? Your pastors and then your leaders. How do you pray for your pastors, your Christian leaders? How do you pray for them? You know, I was sharing with somebody on Facebook a couple of days back and I said, he was trying to tell me something that was in the news about a preacher of the gospel. And I laughed. He said, is this not a serious matter? I said, it's not. He said, why? I said, you are the one that is making it serious. He said, you mean those allegations are not grave enough? I said, what does the Bible tell you to do? See, I know where to pray, but at the same time, I said, there's no same time. Have you prayed? He said, no. I said, is he a minister of the gospel? He said, yes. Is he at the peril of wicked and unreasonable men? He said, yes. Is Satan after his life? He said, yes. Does Satan want him dead? He said, yes. Does Satan want to destroy his ministry? He said, yes. I said, so what is the serious matter there? You know, we get carnal. So we begin to talk like an unbeliever will speak about a preacher of the gospel. Am I saying it's not true? I said, what if it is true? It could be true. But then he calls us to pray. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. I hope you have enough sense not to be sifted. You know, he didn't say that. He said, Satan desires to sift you. He didn't say, he wants to sift you like wheat. Why won't he sift you? When you are unstable, you always deny everything. I don't know for you. He said, but I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That is how Christians talk. Not, did you hear? What did you hear? Satan has sifted Peter. He has sifted him finally. All the bragging and bragging. That was the Christ, Son of the living God. He has sifted Peter. Did you see it? Christians don't talk like that. Hallelujah. Today in the body of Christ, we have lost potential gifts of God to the church because of our carnality. We are always carnal. A lot of people are just carnal. I told the fellow, I said, so what? He said, ah. But a preacher should not be caught doing things like that. I said, so for every Christian, not just a preacher. He said, yes. I said, but who much is given to you? Cried up. I said, much is given to you to pray. Have you knelt down to pray? Have you sought God on this? Have you prayed for His family? Have you prayed for His church? Have you prayed for His ministry? Have you prayed for His life? There was a minister who was so depressed at what Christians did to him. When he was in the fatal crisis of his life, that he took poisons to die. He was disappointed at the church. He had been in the world. He had seen how people covered their own, help them to come out of crisis. He was shocked that the same people yesterday who said, oh, good morning, sir. It is well, sir. You're such a blessing to us. What a huge blessing to us. Your teaching ministry is unparalleled, unequaled, unknown, all over the church, outside the church, in the Gentile world, in the Jewish world. There's none like you. You teach better than Moses. You teach better than Elijah. You preach better than Jesus. Oh, said the very next minute, they turned against him. Took poisons to die. That's why I advise preachers, you too, pray for yourself. I like people praying for me, but I prefer praying for myself. I'd like that one, because I know what I'm going to be saying. How do you pray for ministers? How? We showed us last week, 1 Thessalonians 5, sorry, 2:18, how ministers face a lot of peril. Let me show you something. You see, in the world today, the most important thing in the world. See, this world is a spiritual place. The most important information in the earth today is the Word of God. Satan will do just anything to stop the Word of God from being heard. Just anything. You know, look at the parable of the sower. The Bible teaches that Satan came for the Word. Persecutions came for the Word. Luke 8 and Matthew 13, Mark 4. So, when somebody is a preacher of the Word, he is going to be subject to the devil's, or vulnerable to the devil's attacks, not because of him, because of the message he carries. And to now make matters worse, he's human. Okay? He's human. He has his own frailties, mistakes, that Satan will capitalize on so that the Word of God will not advance. So you have to be spiritually minded and know how to think in every circumstance. Now, I'm not talking about big men of God in your vocabulary. I'm talking about Christian leaders. Those who preach the Word of God to you, whether it's your cell leader, whether it's your house fellowship leader, whether it's your fellowship teacher, whether it's your Sunday school teacher, whether it's the pastor of your church. Satan wants to stop the Word that is being preached. In 1 Thessalonians 2, please turn there. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. He said, an effectual door has been opened unto us, but we have many adversaries. Many adversaries, opponents. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. No, verse 18. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Every evil work. What does it mean by evil work? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's take 6 first before we go to 11. 2 Corinthians 6. He says, given no offense in verse 3 in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God in patience. Are you following? Are you following? 2 Corinthians 6 verse 4. In affliction. In necessities. In what else? Distress. Can we take 5 together? One to go. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith. 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor. Can you see that? That means there will be honor and there will also be dishonor for the man of God. Go on. By what? Evil report. And what? As deceivers, and yet true. Now, so don't you feel that if Paul were to be today in our churches today, don't you think there will be press releases about him? There will be internet downloads about him. There will be people from his church that will say things about him. You know, one of the artists that went, that died a couple of months before, had this cut matter. There's an unbeliever. Okay? And when that court case was going on, they accused him of certain things. And some people were saying, can you imagine? Why would you do that? I just smiled. I said, you know something? I don't believe in all these kind of things. I said, truth is not known by reading the newspapers. You can say, yeah. I said, yeah. I've been reading the newspapers for something like 28 years. 27 years. I've been reading newspapers for 27 years. And I know that the truth is not in the newspapers. So, years later, one of the boys that accused that fellow now said, came out, but he was now old. He said his father actually coached him to lie, to make money. He said he coached him, but the fellow was dead. They collected the money. The evil was done. How much more a preacher of the gospel of Christ? How much more of a preacher of the gospel of Christ? Look at chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Verse 23, for 2 Corinthians 11. I am more in labors of more abundance, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in debts often. Oh God. 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, at night and the day I've been in the deep. 26. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. Can you see this? Perils by the eating, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. People who you believe are Christians. They had the perils of those people. They're going to call the preacher names. Jesus was called a blasphemer. He was called a liar. Paul was called a leader of a cult. By the people who were in authority. There was news about Jesus. All over Israel. Such that the day they were going to crucify him, the whole nation said, let him go, take him away. He's a liar. If that had happened today, Punch would have carried it, right? Headline news. Right? The news. Does that make it true? Does it make it true? doesn't make it true. So ministers of the gospel are faced with things like that. Persecutions. Evil. Some people want to even kill ministers of the gospel. I mean, kill them. You know the interesting thing about people? About these people? A preacher of the gospel, your pastor, is just like you. It's just like you. Alright? In Acts 4, they threatened them. They threatened them. They said, the next time you speak about Jesus, we will deal with you. Verse 21, Acts 4. When they had further threatened them, they let them go. Find nothing they could punish them with, because the people of all men glorified God for that which was done. Alright? But in verse 23, they went to their company and told them what had happened. From 24, the Bible says, they lifted up their voice to pray. That is what we do. To pray. Why do we pray? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. All these evils, can we do something about them in prayer? Sure we can. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? Are you there now? Can we take it together? One to go? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may afflict us and be glorified even as it is with you. Verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Pray for us. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not. So you're going to pray for a minister that he will be, you're going to pray deliverance for a preacher. Alright? So you pray that for a minister. Look at another thing you're going to pray for a minister. Ephesians chapter 6. You don't pray for a minister that his eyes be opened. His eyes be opened to the word of God. Yeah, something wrong with you. That's pride on your behalf. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. Let's take verse 19 together. One to go. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make. So what are you praying there? You're praying boldness for your pastor. Utterance. Verse 20. Together now. For which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Utterance. The delivery of his message. He knows the message. Right? But there's now the communication of that message. Father, we pray. Oh, in the name of Jesus. As we go for tomorrow's service, I pray for Pastor. That he goes up to teach and preach. The utterance will be granted unto him to teach as he ought to teach, to preach as he ought to preach. Thank you, our Father. We receive boldness for him to declare the entire counsel of God. That is how to pray for a pastor. Pray for utterance. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 3. Colossians 4:3. I want us to take it together. One to go. Verse 3. One to go. Without also praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. To do what? To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That's how to pray. That's the prayer point. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. I want us to take it together too. One to go. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Can you see that? So you're going to pray for the message. You're also going to pray for the messenger. That he should deliver the message and then pray for him also. Because if there's no him, there will be no message. You pray for the protection of your leaders. You pray for their deliverance from evil men, not just for people hurting them physically, but even hurting them emotionally. Hurting them, the things, the people that say terrible things about preachers. Very, very horrible things. I happen to have been around the ministry years ago when a lady from the church, from the ministry, for whatever reasons, accused the pastor of certain immoral things towards her. And then it was strange. Very strange. Because this was someone who was highly respected. And then, you know, normally in the church, people can say, "Did you hear?" From that point, when you come to church, normally you should see the pastor as the man of God. You look at him. If he says, "Let us pray." You know, that information is to change your attitude. And then, I was younger, but I was just confused because I didn't even say anything really. Years later, the woman came, she was now grown up, she came with her husband to plead with the man of God because the husband discovered himself with the wife who had known the truth before, that it was not true. But that was how many years after? 9 years. After which, many people have been affected because of that lie. You know where the problem was? Church wasn't praying. Should be praying. Satan wants to destroy ministries, churches. I'm not saying that the churches are perfect, none is. Not the ones Paul preached in. Do you read your Bible at all? Do you see the Roman church? They were not good guys. The Corinthian church were not guys good. The Colossian church was not good guys like that. Everybody. And you know, all those churches had pastors, ministers. Yet Paul's letter was not written to Guardian News. It was not written to CNN. It was addressed to Christians. With admonition to do what? Pray for one another. And I've seen that before. And they say, the pastor did this. And you think that if somebody who has been walking with him for 4 years can say that, he cannot be a lie. Who said so? Didn't Judas walk with Jesus? Was he telling the truth when he went to those with whom he betrayed him? Was Gehazi telling the truth when he went? After Naaman, was he telling the truth? Hadn't he grown with the plan of God? He had, but he just lied. Maybe he had not lied before that day. But he lied that day because Satan had something to do with his soul. So you have a responsibility to be on your knees to pray for ministers of the gospel. Your pastors and your leaders. And as we do in this ministry, maybe you don't know, we have times in the year where we pray for preachers of other churches. We just pray for them. How many of you know we do that? Year in, year out. We pray for ministers of other churches. There was a time in this church, we had a prayer room where a day in the week, we picked out names of the churches you know, and we pray for their pastors. That is how to be a Christian. Do you know that when you are praying for someone, you don't carry gist about the person? How do you know that? You don't do that. You just pray. You believe God. You believe things will change. You believe you believe God's intervention will come to the man. That's how to pray for ministers. Do you pray for their financial well-being? Well, if you look at what Paul went through, Philippians 4, turn there, you know you probably should pray for that too. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens, notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. So Paul here, you know, was in a situation of dire need. Yeah, they communicated to him, but you can also pray for the financial well-being of your Christian leaders, just like you pray like that for fellow believers. Let's look at other things you can pray for. What about a Christian meeting? We have an upcoming meeting, a crusade, a teaching seminar, glory meetings, you know, and all that. Believers' conventions, camp meetings. How do you pray for the people who are coming for that program? How do you pray? I know some of you were there yesterday where we had a prayer meeting praying for the upcoming glory meetings. You're probably praying your fellowships during the week. How do you pray those prayers? Why are we praying? How do you pray? Very simple. You pray for an unhindered flow of God's power. See, when we gather, right, God is there. Matthew 18, in verse 20 and 21, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. 1 Corinthians 5, 4, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather, my spirit is with you with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we gather, God is there. We're not praying for God to come in. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, through whom the whole house is fitly fitted together and forms an habitation for God through the Spirit. So we form a house for God. We are the house of God. We are the temple of God. God is there when we gather, no doubt. Power of God is present when we gather, no doubt. See? Just like the Word of God always has power. Say, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That's power to do what it talks about. However, the Word of God can be hindered. If the Word of God can be hindered, like we read earlier, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, the power of God, this is not, this is with all respect to the awesome power of God, can be hindered by people. How? For instance, the organization of the program. They could be late. For instance, if we want to start a program, and then the venue, those who are holding the venue or who own the venue just say, well, we can't allow you to start by 6. Or then we'll allow you to start by 6, but won't allow you to stay beyond 8. You know, and some other things happen. Light goes off. Some things happen like that. You know, there's distractions here and there. The power of God is still there, but it's been hindered from having a free flow. So we pray that the power of God will have a free flow in the meeting. We pray that the Word of God will be taught unhindered in that meeting. Things that can hinder in a Christian meeting include people that will come in there to create confusion. In Luke 5, Jesus went to teach, and the power of God was present in verse 17 to heal, but the Pharisees and Sadducees were there to question him rather than get healed. That can happen in a meeting, to hinder the flow of the power of God. You can have people who come in to distract the whole meeting and have people not receive. So we're going to pray that there will be an unhindered flow of the Word of God and of the power of God. Also, we pray for the reception of the Word of God by people. Because God does everything through His Word. Ephesians chapter 1. Does everything through His Word. Ephesians 1. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What happens? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we pray for people's eyes to be what? Enlightened. The word enlightened is from the Greek word to educate. To open something. Are you there? To open something. Your mind is opened. Your mind is opened. That means things can be explained to you easily. That means you can see what is being taught. You can understand what is being taught. As we come here today, we have prayed for you. We have prayed for you in our services. We have prayed for you before you came. When we started the service, we prayed for you. Because it's not just good enough for you to come here, read the scriptures and just be watching. Your eyes have to be open. Say, I receive understanding and enlightenment by the Spirit of God in the Word of God in Jesus' name. Say it again, I receive enlightenment in the Word of God by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Say again, I am not just an hearer, I'm not just a hearer of the Word of God, I'm not just a listener, I receive
the word of God. I receive understanding. That's what happens. We pray for people to receive understanding. We pray this primarily in the Spirit. That is, we pray in tongues. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication, where? In the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? Jude 20. Jude 20. This is talking about praying for other Christians. And it says to pray it in the Spirit. Jude 20. But ye beloved, building yourselves, or building up yourselves on your most holy faith, what do you do? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So we just read praying in the Spirit. That is, if we're going to pray for other Christians, we should pray in the Spirit. And he says pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit or pray in the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Huh? Pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues, Paul says, speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries unto God. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying in tongues. When we pray in tongues, we're praying in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Why is this very effective? Paul even said it to the Corinthian church. He said, I thank my God, 1 Corinthians 14:18, I speak with tongues more than you all. That means Paul's prayers were done in tongues. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Notice that. It didn't say we don't know what we should pray for. We know what we should pray for. We're praying for fellow Christians. We're praying for ministers. We're praying for the meeting. But it says, as we what? Ought to. The proper words, the verbiage of our prayer, the knowledge of our prayer, how we go about it. He says, but the Spirit does what? Itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That word makes intercession for us is an old English word. It means he will come alongside with you to help you. So praying in tongues is Spirit-aided prayer. Holy Spirit aids you to pray. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So in praying for people, know what to pray for, why you're praying that way, and how to pray. Why are we praying for our ministers? We just showed you. To be delivered from people, that they will have utterance, to have a free course. Why we pray for fellow Christians? For their eyes of understanding to be enlightened. Why are we praying for a weak Christian? So that he will grow in the knowledge of God's word and resist the devil's accusations. How do we pray? We pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit, we pray out the will of God for that fellow. We are ready to pray now. Are you ready to pray? It's time to speak. Let us pray.